Praise the Lord. Let's be still. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come by the blood of Lord Jesus confessing my sins. Father, I humble myself under your mighty hand, and I thank you so much for this privilege you have given me once again to share your word with your people. Father, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I ask for mercy to be faithful, Lord, in the delivery of the word. I duck under the covering of my spiritual parents. That, Lord, that same grace will be upon me. Tell me to speak effectively as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, we go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work or an eternal work in our hearts, Lord, that our wills will become more humble, our minds will be further enlightened by revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions will be further controlled by the power of the Spirit. Father, I also pray for grace to redeem it and not to say things that are necessary. At the end of the day, we will all be edified and become more conformed to the image of your Son. We give you all the praise and all the glory for all you will do in our midst this evening, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, together. The title again, let's say, the purpose of eternal life. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. Please, you can play Be Still for me. It will go a long way to help me. Be Still for the presence of the Lord is here, that song. So I don't want to rush through. Praise the Lord. John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. Are we there? Lord, have mercy. Okay, praise God. Let's read together. This word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2, very important. Let's read together. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That is the punchline of what we're going to talk about today. And this is life eternal. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Let's say it once again. And this is life eternal. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Traditionally, in Christianity, most people believe that eternal life is living forever. Or that, okay, just going to heaven. It is true. That is a consequence of having eternal life. But the Lord himself is telling us here that the reason why God has given us or wants to give us eternal life is that we might do what? Know him. What this means is that if you do not have eternal life, you cannot know God. I think that is clear here. That's my book of John chapter 1 verse 10. It says something. He said, he came into the world and the world knew him not. Put it on the board as I'm talking. He said, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Why? Because the world did not have eternal life. It's very important for us to have that at the back of our mind as we continue. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, and this is eternal life, that they might know the only truth. That means they are false gods. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast what? Sent. So, for us to know God, we need to have eternal life. And what is eternal life? Jesus Christ himself said it. He said in John 10:10, he said, that I have come that they might have what? Life, and they might have it more abundantly. That means in greater measure. Are you following me? So what is eternal life? We've been taught over and over in this house. Eternal life is the spiritual substance inside God that makes God God. Let's say it together. Eternal life, that the Bible, the Greek word for it is Zoe. Eternal life is the spiritual liquid inside God that makes God God. Let's say this way again. As Pastor has taught us many times, it is what God has in himself. John 5:27 says it that way. He says that he has given us, the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son also to have what? Life in himself. So life is what God has in himself. Are you following me? So it's very important for us to have that at the back of our mind. Eternal life is what God has in himself. And for us to know God, we need to have that eternal life, to know the true God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, having said all that, the second aspect of that scripture we quoted in the book of John chapter 17 says that they might know thee. Say no. You see, when we look at the word no, Most of us just think like, okay, like I'm standing here today. If somebody comes here and he's meeting me for the first time, say, I met Pastor Abraham today in church. You know, he may say that does not mean he knows me. You see, he knows me by name in terms of my name I bear. But does not know me. You see, we need to examine that word know. And for us to understand, let's open our Bible to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Are we there? What does it say? And Adam did what? Knew Eve, his wife. And she did what? Conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, and Adam knew Eve. Let's say it together. And Adam did what? Knew Eve. So that word know is pregnant. That word know is what? Pregnant. It's not just knowing like you know somebody physically. It talks about intimacy. Intimacy that causes a reproduction. That now enables the woman to get pregnant and now gives birth to a child that looks exactly like the father. So Bible says, and Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? God desires that we all know him. From the least of us to the greatest. And knowing God is at three levels. We need to know God in our spirits. This is very elementary, but it's important for us to go through it again. We need to know God in our spirits. We need to know him in our souls and also in our physical bodies. Let's say it together. We need to know God in our spirits, in our souls, and in our bodies. Let's put some scriptures behind this. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says that, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That is what happens when you get born again. God injects that eternal life into your spirit, man. And he guarantees that your spirit bears witness that what we are the children of God. But you see, God wants us to go beyond that. Because man has three parts. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and also lives in a physical body. So it's not enough for us to get born again and have eternal life in our spirits. We also need to have eternal life in our souls also. That's how we know God. Are you following me? So also, we always pray this prayer also from Ephesians, say that give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the present complete knowledge of you, so the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope. That has to do with the soul. And all this must happen through eternal life. You see, you can know God in your spirit and not know him in your soul. That was the problem they had in the Galatian church. In the Galatian church, they were born again. And Paul started complaining. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, he first of all said, now that you know God, he said, but you now changed again, but you are known of God. He said, why are you observing this and things like that? And you know, times and what's it called? Ceremonial law, observances, circumcision and all that. I now went ahead to say in Galatians chapter 5:19, said that my little children of whom I travel in birth until Christ be formed in you. That particularly speaks about the soul. Because they didn't understand. We said, why are you obeying, trying to go back to Mosaic law? No, the ceremonial observances. So that's very, very important. And the last aspect is to know God in our physical bodies. Now we need to turn to that scripture. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible's book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and read 2 verses, verses 10 and 11. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Are we there? Yeah, let's read together. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that what? The life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. He also repeats the same thing in the next verse, so we don't have any doubt about it. Next verse. Say, for we which live are always delivered unto death for what? Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. God wants that same eternal life to be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He's not satisfied with just having that eternal, or let me put it this way, in context of what we're talking about, he's not satisfied with his children only knowing him in the spirit. He will not be satisfied only if we know him, even with our souls. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, it says that receiving the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. But there's still a step more, which is the old, that is what we are talking about in this, about the Feast of Tabernacles. He told them, he said that you must appear for him three times in a year, during Passover, Feast of Pentecost, and then at Tabernacles. You see, the majority in the church only are aware of one feast. That's the feast of Passover. Get born again, die, and go to heaven. But I see another feast which most of us have experienced. Pentecost, where you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in tongues, which now begins to enlighten your understanding. But the last feast we are talking about is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the feast that we have entered. This is the season we are in now, and this is what God is about to do. This is why this message is very, very important. As I Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, he was saying that I might know him. Put it in Amplified. We need to read it. It's very important. Philippians chapter 3 verses 10 to 12. You see, Paul has been born again. Someone that wrote over half of the New Testament. Is he crying that I might know him? Are we there? Yeah, this is what this Paul talks. For my determined purpose is that I might know him, that I might progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of the person more strongly and more dearly, and that I might. And that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. In the hope that, next verse please. In the hope that if possibly I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in this body. You see, Paul saw that thing. I believe he tasted it. You know why? Because the Bible said that he took handkerchiefs from him. You see, he experienced it, but it was not permanent. You see, people who are sick and they took handkerchiefs for them to take aprons from his body. That means that life must have entered the body. I follow him. So he tested it. So God gave him just that little. So he encouraged him. So he was dancing. How am I knowing? So immediately he saw, he tested that. You know, Pentecost was no longer. He desired something more. He didn't camp around the mantle of Pentecost. That's why God is bringing this message to us in this time. God doesn't want us to camp around the mantle of Pentecost. Are you following me? Paul said that they that say, who has woe, who has sorrows, them that tie long are the wine. That's why you have a problem in the Pentecostal church today. Many in the church have tarried on the wine of Pentecost, Babylon. So what is happening now? To announce, they are now twisting that message. Preaching all kinds of, so they have woe. They have sorrows. But that's not the message for today. Let us focus on how we can enter this feast and experience the manifestation of the life of God in our physical bodies. That is what we mean by the manifestation of the sons of God. It's so simple. You see, before I used to hear about the manifestation of sons of God, I didn't understand it. I understood. But see, the instruction of what it really means wasn't until Pastor started teaching us about this aspect of life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh. I thought, or else, you can preach a message on the manifestation of sons of God, and you know, you can be very excited and you go home, you're going to raise people from the dead. But see, how are you going to know when that thing has taken place? It is when the life of God is manifest in your mortal body. The Feast of Tabernacles, knowing God in your flesh. That's why Job said something in the book of Job. I can't remember. He said that even though my body's worm should eat them, he said, yet in my flesh, yet, he said in the last day, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That is when Job was sick. You know the story of Job, I know the problems he had. But in that context, when God healed him, didn't he see God? So he's not talking about the resurrection. We are talking here about the redemption of the body. Not the glorification of the body, which will come to pass at the resurrection. Praise the Lord. Lord help me. So, why is this message very important to us in this day? It is very important. I have some points I have written down here. It is very important because this is what God, is the covenant that God has cut with us. Many in the church don't understand it. They believe our covenant with God is to get born again, die, and go to heaven. Like Pastor has said many times, the thief on the cross didn't do anything. He just accepted Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord Jesus Christ said, this day you shall be with me where paradise. But Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 said, do you think I'm paraphrasing, I'm crazy, I'm fasting today, do you think I don't like to get married? He's not saying one star different from another star in glory. I follow me. I'm saying this so we can fire ourselves up and leave the feast of Pentecost. Not leave the feast of Pentecost in terms of not practicing it. But the Bible says, Paparazzi said, the greater will always swallow the lesser. Go beyond Pentecost and enter the promised land. Praise the Lord. So let's open my Bibles. The first point I have is that this is the covenant of a new covenant. Let's look at this is the covenant of a new covenant. Let's look at Bible's book of Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 to 11. As they open there, and this covenant of a new covenant can only be obtained by the promise of all promises. Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 8, verse 10. Let's do together. This is your covenant to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is your covenant with God. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Israel here speaks of a church, the body of Christ, us. After those days, that is because Paul was quoting from the Old Testament. He said, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will do what? I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, let's read the next verse. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all, say all shall know me from the least to the greatest. God wants everyone to know him from the least to the greatest. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? So you can understand why the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in the book of John chapter 73. Says that this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Praise the Lord. So you can only obtain or fulfill this covenant by only using the promise of all promises, eternal life. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. That is the major promise that God has given us, many promises. But if you lay hold on this promise, you have every other promise. Are you following me? Are we there? Says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even what? Eternal life. That's why Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Seize it on eternal life. You need to seize eternal life with your spirit. Seize it in your soul. Seize it in your physical body. Then will God be satisfied. Praise the Lord. The next point I have here is that we are saved by his life, spirit, soul, and body. We are singing earlier on about the Lord Jesus Christ saving us by his grace. Yes, he's still saving us by that same grace. Bible talks about the grace of life, and he's still going to save us by that same grace in our physical bodies. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are we there? Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Let's put the scripture, very important. It says, Let's read together, for if when we are enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. So he's talking to those that have been reconciled to God by the death of his son. That means they were already born again. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be what? Saved by his life. You see, each time I mention life, you can go and check it in your Bible. In the Greek, it means eternal life. Zoe. What is inside God that makes God God? We're not talking about physical life here. We're talking about God's, what flows inside God. Just like blood flows in your physical body. When we teach them in the youth church, you know, because we make it so simple to them. And we give them an example that, okay, we talk about people going to heaven and all that. That if there's a contention or an argument over who owns a child, they will do a blood test, right or wrong. And when they do that blood test, they will hand over the child to the father whose blood DNA matches that of the child, right or wrong. So that's why, you see, when you're preaching to people, but it's not a question of whether you build many houses or done many things. We make it so simple to you. It's like when you get to heaven, this is not going to happen. Just you understand it. If God is saying, you are my son. Satan is saying, you are my son. Someone will come like a spiritual doctor. So they will take God's hand. They will slash it. And what comes out of God's hand will be eternal life. Right? They will take Satan's hand. They will slash it. They won't come out. The same nature. So when they take your hand, and they take the blood sample, I did not eternal life. Already you know where you're going to. So it's very simple. So you see, that's why you can, you see, people, some people stomp Yeah, either the Son has life. Either the Son has no life. So this is why many people stumble. I say, all your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. So that's why some people, they will believe that, okay, because I don't steal, I don't smoke, I don't do all this nonsense, I'm going to heaven. No. And they will compare themselves with Christians that are yet to have eternal life in abundant measure in their soul and their body. Say, look at this one. He says, he's a child of God. He did this, but yeah, I'm not doing it. No. That's not what determines where you go to. What determines who is your father is the nature that you end up with when you check out of this physical body. Praise the Lord. So that's along the side. So what are we saying? We are being saved by his life, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. We all know that scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This is what God wants to do. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole what? Spirit, whole soul, whole body be preserved, blameless unto. It must happen on this side before the coming. Just like you must have eternal life on this side before you check out. So, spirit, soul, and body must be sanctified on this side before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We understand as we go on what is very, very important. So, the third point I have here is that before I go, I have a very, just quite give a parable about the leaven, about the woman. Are you following me? He said, I'll just talk about it, sort of time. Matthew chapter 13. 33 about. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a woman that hid. It's a woman that hides, puts the leaven there. It's in three measures of meal, spirit, soul, and body, until the whole was leavened. It didn't stop until one or two. It kept on adding it. It kept on adding it until the whole was leavened. So you understand the purpose of God. It's so simple. Jesus Christ will teach them using simple illustrations. Simple illustrations. I remember, I just mentioned now, go on. There, many years ago, you see, there was this controversy about the life of God. People say, you're always talking about life and life and life and life and life and life. And I just got to this show. So Pastor shared a vision that mommy had years ago, that you should concentrate on eternal life. And the vision that God gave mommy at that time was very simple. That if you want to empty the air inside a cup or a container, what you need to concentrate on is not trying to suck out the air. Just get water and pour it inside the cup. Automatically, as keep on pouring the water inside the cup, the air will go out. So the Bible talks about the principle of the power of the air. So concentrate on the life of God, which is water. You keep on filling it inside that cup. Are you following me? You must acknowledge that the air is there. We don't deny that fact. That the sin, but Paul said, there is something sin warring inside my skin. We don't deny it. But don't focus too much on the problems you have. I mean, mention them to God, confess them, I acknowledge them. But see, the way, the antidote is getting that water, the life of God, filling it with that vessel. Automatically, the air will go out. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the third point I have here is that it is Zoe in abundant measure that gives us the ability to bear good fruit. I put good food there because, you see, John the Baptist, when he was preaching, he said the axe is laid at the root of a tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit. Are you following me? He said that it is the way that we have, that we also have to bear good fruit that will remain and ultimately cause the world to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will explain what I'm saying. You see, if you don't have eternal life, you cannot bear good fruit. Either the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of good treasure that pastor has been teaching us. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. Are you following me? So you need eternal life to bear good fruit. That's why Jesus Christ, when he was talking to them in those days, he said that, I am the vine, you are the branches. So what flows automatically in the vine will go to the branches. I follow this same simple illustration that mommy gave about pouring a glass of water inside the with a glass. Are you following me? Or you see, the only reason why the water will not go in is because if there's a hindrance, which is due to sin. That's why you must confess your sins. So we are not saying you shouldn't confess your sins. Confess them. Once you confess those things, that water can enter freely. You know, in biology in those days, talk about the semi-permeable membrane. It goes from a higher concentration to a lower. You see, the sin in the soul, the remaining sin in the soul and the body is on a lower concentration. But it must go through forcefully through
a semi-permeable membrane.
That's what we'll get when you start praying. It's not just going to happen. There's an opposition. Praise the Lord. So you see, we need the life of God to bear fruit. Either the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of good treasure. Like pastors and teaching us. You know, the Bible says, oh, we are born out of the heart, the mouth. Let's just put the scripture behind this one. Luke chapter 6, verse 44 to 45. So I explain what I'm trying to say. Because if you don't get to this stage, the world will not know. We've preached and preached and preached. We've done miracles, yet people don't believe that Jesus is Lord. I asked that question, why? Then God brought me to this scripture. Let's read. He said, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns, men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather grapes. Next verse. A good man, out of a good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaketh. The fruit of good treasure. The pastor has been talking about the ability of the mind of Christ. The book of Colossians 2 verse 3. He said, in Christ I hid all, without exception, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Are you following me? So it's very, very important for us to have that at the back of our mind. Please go back to, he said, for every tree is known by their fruit. That means we are not bearing adequate fruit. So the world does not know. See, every tree is known by its fruit. It is men that eat fruit. Are you following me? So for men to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, the understanding. Jesus Christ said something. Philip said, she said she was the father. He said, have I been so long with you, I don't know the father? If you have seen me, you have seen the father. That means, look at my life. You are eating fruit of my life every day. Are you following me? So every fruit shall be known by his fruit. So if the Lord Jesus Christ or the Father is not known in this day by his fruit, that means it's an indictment of the church. We have not brought enough fruit for the world to recognize, even though we are doing miracles every day. We have not brought much fruit, and the fruit needs to remain. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's put a scripture behind John chapter 17, verses 21 to 23. He actually mentioned it. That's the same discourse of John 17, where I said, and this is lifetime that I may know him. Are we there? Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. 17:21. Let's say that they all may be one. Watch this. You see, this one here has to do with unity. I agree. Say that they all be one, as thou Father art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe. How is God the Father in Jesus Christ, and how is Jesus Christ in the Father? By the life. Like that example of the DNA test that I said. God the Father is not residing inside Jesus Christ physically. Are you following me? He said the fullness of Godhead bodily. Are you following me? Next verse. Next verse. Said, and the glory, when this begins to happen, and the glory that thou givest me, I have given them, that they be one, even as we are one. Next verse. They will now move from believing. And I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know. You see, the issue is with us, not with the world. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Praise the Lord. So it's very important. That's where we're going to. And to illustrate this point, I will mention in passing the story of Aaron's rod that budded because of time. The book of Numbers chapter 17 verse 8. We know the story. The background is that there was a rebellion in the camp. People were arguing whom God has chosen. And then Moses didn't argue with them. He said, okay, all of you bring your rods. So he brought all the 12 tribes of Israel. They brought 12 rods. And he took them to the tabernacle, the very presence of God, where the life of God is. And overnight, he went back there and he brought out those rods. Now let's read. It says, and it came to pass, as it's going to come to pass in this day, that on the morrow, that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of what? Aaron, for the house of Levi, was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. Say buds, blossoms, and almonds. Spirit, soul, and body. That is the fruit. It is that almonds that people come and eat. Nobody feeds on buds. Even when it's blossoming, you have to wait. We blade the air, the full corn in the air. God himself is not in a hurry to, he's waiting for the almonds to come for, he's waiting for the precious. It's not yet precious. We've seen the board. Are you following me? We've seen the blossoming to a certain extent, revelation in the soul. This feast of Pentecost. Now we need to see tabernacles, almonds. And he told Jeremiah, he said, well, Jeremiah, what do you see? By revelation. So I see the root of an almond tree. God said, you have seen well. I will do what? Hasten to perform it. I said, hastening the coming of the Lord. The only way we are going to hasten his coming is by bringing almonds. Keep following me. Praise the Lord. So the next point I have, which is very, very important, is that we are waiting patiently for the redemption of our bodies. That's why I kind of step by step to get to this point. That is the, like I put here, I say it is the redemption of our body. That is the capstone of our redemption. God has redeemed our spirits. He has paid for the price. He didn't stop, he didn't pay for the spirit alone. Or else it would be unrighteous for him to waiting for the redemption of his soul. We'll have taken a body home. But that's not what he's waiting for. So he's waiting for the redemption of our physical body, the capstone of our redemption. That is what is going to go to. When you are building a house, you know, the capstone, what you put, the final stone you put there. Praise the Lord. So that is why the Bible said that once again, John 1:14, the word must be made flesh. John said, we beheld his glory. He said, that which you have looked upon, that which we have handled, they handled Jesus Christ. He said, of the word of life. He said, life was made manifest, and we have seen it. So the word must be made flesh once again in you and I. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8 verse 22. I will read. Pastor preached about it some time ago. I will read for emphasis again. God showed me something. I will mention it. I want you to follow me. Read together. Romans chapter 8 verse 22. Let's keep reading. For we know. So we understand what the word know now. Not just head knowledge. At least at this time, Paul is talking about the deeper level of intimacy in the soul. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travelled in pain together until now. Next verse. Please follow me. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. Say waiting. Waiting for the adoption to which? The what? The redemption of our body. Waiting there does not mean you're just not doing anything. I do. You are waiting patiently, consistently, actively doing something. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Next verse. Thank you, Lord. And we are saved by hope. Let's look. And we are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? We've not seen this thing, so we are hoping for it to happen. But God has guaranteed that it will happen in this season. Next verse. Please follow me. It's very important. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with what? Patience wait for it. Let patience have a perfect work that it may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Next verse. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Likewise, you see, he follow his train of thought. Bible wasn't written in verses and chapters, so he kept talking as the Holy Spirit was granting the unction to write. So he said, likewise, in the same way, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Why? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to consign the redemption of our body. Do you get that? Very important. So don't take it out of context. He's talking about the redemption of our body that we are waiting for. Say, likewise, in this manner, the Spirit of God is also helping our infirmities. That helper that means take hold together with against. God has a part, you have a part. You see, in those days, people used to complain. They will come to church, they will say, you can't grow at will. They just have to wait for something to move you. When I teach in foundation of faith classes, I ask them, I say, are you born again? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I say, speak in tongues now. The man says, stop. Speak in tongues now, stop. So who is controlling the tongues? Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in your standing. So why do you want to wait for the Holy Spirit to come and move you? He will never move you. Yes. You see, if I say pray in tongues, everybody can pray in tongues. I can say pray in tongues for 1 second, pray in tongues for 3 seconds, pray in tongues for 1 hour. You can.
is your helper. The helper is not the one that does the job. For example, doctor, professor, come and help me to carry this something now. I must carry it on one side. So as I start, they will also join me and help me to carry it. So let's keep reading. So likewise, also, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It didn't say we don't know what we should pray for. We just don't know as we ought to. So we know we need to pray for the redemption of our body. Just we don't know how to pray for it to be able to get the results. I think it's clear. Praise God. Okay. But the Spirit, it's not itself. Oh, this old, this himself, but the Spirit. Let's say New King James. But the Spirit, please follow me. I'm towards something very important. But the Spirit himself maketh what? Intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. If somebody comes now and gives a professor NIV, we'll come back to the NIV, please. Say, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. If I speak in tongues now, I've spoken words, but they articulate. Say, utterance. If somebody gives a prophetic utterance now, either in tongues, he has spoken words, yeah, you don't understand it. But groans like you mix everything together. So it's not articulate. You can't separate it and say, what this word that groan means. But it just has groaned in the Spirit. Are you following me? So he said, back to New King James. He said that what can't express. You can't, how can you express the groan? How can you separate it and say, okay, this is what this means in different words? That's why he said, words that cannot, groanings we cannot be uttered. It's not like an utterance in tongues. Here is a praise song. It's not like an utterance in tongues. Are you following me? So it's a new level, another level of praying. Be following me. Lord, help me. Next verse, please, 27. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he does what? Maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So no need to be afraid when you are groaning. You are praying according to the will of God. It is clear. You see, there's a time pastor was preaching on this years ago, and he was ministering in an Eternal Life seminar. I said, he quoted that scripture, he was reading, and he just stop. He read, he said, and the Spirit maketh intercession for us. I said, stop. How do you know the Spirit of God is making intercession for us with groanings? So, if we are not groaning at that level concerning the redemption of the body, the Spirit is not making intercession for you. The Spirit making intercession for us with groaning. It makes it clear. He did that the Spirit making intercession for us. I rushed those words. Please forgive me. He did not say the Spirit making intercession for us with tongues. Why did he put groanings there? God does not waste words. With groanings, which cannot be uttered like you give a prophetic utterance. I think it's clear. It is not articulate. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. Now, follow me. Follow me. We need to see this. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Say, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, put that at the back of your mind. Open the Bible to the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. Put it on the board. God wants us to have a confidence when you are groaning about the redemption of his body. You know, we mentioned earlier on that we are waiting for the redemption of our body. That's what let us now talk about the Holy Spirit making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I said that he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So link it back to the redemption of the body. So when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The redemption of the body. Now, watch this. And this is the confidence. Speak out loud. And this is the confidence that we have in him, the Holy Spirit. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Follow me, guys. Next verse. And if we know, we need to know, that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, link it back to the redemption of the body. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. It's a done deal, folks. I will go through once again so you can understand.
is a key point. We are talking about the redemption of our body, the capstone of our redemption. Paul starts talking about it from the book of Romans. They are hoping, we are waiting, we are groaning, waiting for the redemption of our body. So now he said something. He said, likewise, because of this redemption of body, you don't know how do you've been with this stuff, or this stuff has been with you, the sin nature, for how many years, from generation to generation. How are you going to get rid of it? It's literally, if you, in the natural, it's not possible. In families every day, you stumble again. Say, for we know not. That's what he's saying. This thing about prayer, I don't know how I'm going. I don't want it. I know I have to pray, but I don't know how I'm going to get rid of it. But summarize every infirmity as the sin nature. Remember that illustration of the cup and the water? The air. He said, likewise, he said, but we know not what our spirit making tell us according to the will of God. So the spirit making tell us groanings according to the will of God. Now I linked it to 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything groaning according to with regards to the redemption of our body, we know. We need to know that he's hearing us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition concerning the redemption of our body that we ask. Hold on before you clap. One more scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35. Cast not away your confidence. Let's read it. Link those scriptures. That is why, that is the ultimate. Don't just use for natural things. Link those scriptures by the help of the Spirit. We have that confidence. So 10 says, cast not away, because the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you. And if you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Say, cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't say it's not working. Which has what? A great recompense of reward. Next verse. For you have what again? Need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might what? Receive the promise. In its fullness, the promise of eternal life in your soul and your physical body. Next verse, next verse, next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Next verse on the double. Okay. For we have no patience that after having, next verse. Is that the last verse? Next verse, please, let's hurry up. For yet a little while. And he that shall come will come. I will not tarry. Next verse. Now the just shall live by faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. See this? He said, but if any man draw back from this issue of redemption of the body, what was he saying? Now you just live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And the Bible says, shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, spirit, soul, and body. You know, God is not satisfied with the church now. Are you following me? So next verse. Now the just next verse, please. Please follow me. Next verse. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. Let's make that confession. We are not of them that draw back from the redemption of the body unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul and also the body. Are you following me? So that's very important. Now, this is similar to Esther. Things of purification. Just follow me. I want you to type some shadows. I'm going to run out very soon by the help of the Holy Spirit. God help me. You see, in Psalm 45, verse 7 to 8, talking about Jesus, he said that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of thy kingdom is scepter of righteousness. That is love righteousness, and that is hated iniquity. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed with the oil of gladness above. Now, for those that are tied at Pentecost and Passover. Next verse. Let's go there. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. What is God talking about? There's no time to turn to it. That is how they compounded the anointing in the Old Testament. We don't need to go there. The garment is talking about there. It's not like Jesus Christ perfumed himself with the perfume. The garment speaks about the body. He's talking about, you're looking at me like I don't know. The garment speaks about the body. The garment, you see, you just like you put on your jacket when you're going out. Your spirit man has put on the garment of his physical body.
Say, all thy garments smell of myrrh. That this is being perfumed with the life of God. That anointing, that unction. It's no longer on the physical, it's no longer in the spirit or soul. It has not permeated the physical body. That is why Esther, before she could go to the queen, she had to go through 6 months of myrrh and bitter herbs. Because by the time she finished those 6 months, and those things are percolated into her body through osmotic pressure of intercession with groanings. Are you following me? She was presented to the king. From that day on, it was sweet odors. Everything she asked for, forget Haman. Haman's in trouble. The moment she passed that test and they took her to the king, that was it. Just like Aaron's rod, only one rod was picked. Look at Esther also. So, one more scripture, Holy Spirit. I need to hurry up. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4. So, what is God telling us to do now? We're going to read 2 verses. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to read 6 and 7. So, follow me. Songs, let's read them. Until the day break. Say that until the day, let's read together. Until the day break. Say the day is about to break. So, make sure you have a wedding garment. Until the day break. And the shadows flee away. I will get me to where the mountain of myrrh, intercession with groanings, and what the hill of what? Frankincense. Now look at the consequence of going to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Listen, what does it say? Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. He is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So when we get to the mountain of myrrh and we spend time there praying, the Bible says, who in the death of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, tongue crying and tears, or to him that was able to say, and he was heard, and sorry, I'm rushing through. But one knows that is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. So the next verse now says, after he went to that mountain of myrrh and was praying like Elijah when he put his head down, the Lord himself now spoke. He said, thou art offered, my love. There is no spot in thee. Lord himself came and checked him out, checked his body out. Said, he shall present unto himself, this presentation, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any blemish or any such thing. Praise the Lord. So that is what God is about to do. Now, this is what determines those that are ready. You may be saying, I'm ready, I'm ready. No, this is how I go to know if you are ready. Because you know the parable of 10 virgins. Said, 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. Why were they foolish? They had oil in their lamps. They did not put oil in their vessel, their garments. So by the time the bridegroom came, it was those that were ready, meaning those that had oil in their vessel. They went in. So how many are you ready? When the life of Christ is now made manifest in our mortal flesh, then you know you are ready. That means you already have oil in your vessel. You need to get the oil before it comes. You need to get the oil in the vessel before it comes. By the time it comes, it's too late. The cry has gone out now that the bridegroom is coming. You see, it's an amateur by Hadi. The bridegroom, the bride, and the friends of the bride. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride is the body of Christ, and the friends of the bridegroom are part of that body. Bride. So you see, the friends of the bridegroom, Paul said, and John the Baptist said, he said that I'm rejoicing because the friend of mine said the voice of the bridegroom. Yes, but you know what he did? John the Baptist did not get ready. He prepared the bride. He was a friend of the bridegroom, but he did not prepare himself. So you have the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride, the body of Christ, and the friends of the bride, the fivefold ministers, are preaching this message. Someone sent something to me just a few days ago. It so bad me. He said, you have a tanker. You know this tanker used to move well around, carry fuel to distribute fuel. He said that he was talking about people having a retreat. He said that tanker has 3,000 liters of fuel, so to speak. But his tanker also has his own tank. He can be distributing fuel to everybody like that. But fuel must not finish his own tank. So you cannot glory in the fact that you are preaching the message or that you are sharing and what is coming all the time. No, friends of the bridegroom, make sure there is fuel in your tank. Or else when the fuel finishes in your tank, the tanker will stop. I know how people do when they expect you to come with this fuel in the tanker and you don't see you, they'll go somebody else. That's what happened to John the Baptist. He just left him. When fuel finished, own tank. Sobering thought. Very sobering thought. We need to avoid distractions. There is a spirit that has been sent to wear out the saints of God. We need to avoid distractions. If you tight your time like Pastor has taught on over and over, you'll be able to scale through that problem by the grace of God. Okay, that's it. This is it. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and mystery of the Lord. Lord, help me. So what are we saying? I don't think there's anyone here that has a wedding garment. Does anybody have a wedding garment that's ready for Lord Jesus Christ to come? That's the parable of that guy. He said, go and bring them. He said, they are not coming. So we are not coming to that feast, that kingdom, made that feast. It's the book of God have mercy on me. He said, they are not coming. Matthew 22. So now I said, Matthew 22. Yeah. You know, I said, okay, don't worry. Go to the highways and the byways. Bring everyone. Say, they brought the house of food, of the bad and the good. So there was one guy there. He did not have a wedding garment. But he entered the feast. How? Covering. You see, right now, where we are, is under covering of those that have perfumed their garments with myrrh that we can enter. But before the king comes to check out his guests, make sure you get a wedding garment. But that covering no longer work for you again. See, it's going to work before the king comes. When he comes to check everybody out, if you don't have wedding garment, you're going to be taken out. But they cast him to outer darkness. Spiritual darkness of the outer court. But we all have a wedding garment before it comes in Jesus' name. Thank God for covering. Praise the Lord. So, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. So what are we saying? How do we know functionally that we have the life of God in our flesh? We need to know. It's by cleaving to him, to his life. I just want to put it on the board. Deuteronomy chapter 30. That mommy has been talking about choose life. That you may live and your seed may live. Are you following me? Put it there, please, on a hurry. Let's hurry up. 30 says, see, I have said before thee this day, life and good, death and evil. Therefore, choose life. Next verse. I command you to love Lord thy God. He said, when you choose life, you're going to love Lord thy God. This is verse 16. I said verse 19, 20. Let's just go for emphasis. We know the scripture because of time. Deuteronomy 30, 20. He said that. Let's go 20 because of time. That thou mayest love. In 19, it began to mention the attributes of what life of God would do. What do you want to get at? It says that the last thing says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest do what? Cleave. Where did the Bible mention cleave? In the first place in the Bible, God had mentioned it in marriage. It says that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, for this cause, let's say together, for this cause, Genesis chapter 2, 24. For this cause shall the father, for the man leave his father and man cleave unto his wife, and it shall become one. Let's go. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. Talking about this flesh. So, God was telling Israelites, said that it is eternal life that will make you cleave to God. He says that you hear his voice. No, he says that you love him, that you will obey him. That means if you have eternal life, you will hear him. Because you have to hear him before you obey him. So when you're hearing God, the level of eternal life has gone down. So you may also cleave to him. So you understand why many marriages are breaking up. That husbands and wives can't cleave together again. Because they are forsaking the fountain of life. It takes the life of God to stick to one woman. It's not physical, folks. Or a woman to stick to one man. It's not physical. So you can see the answer to every marriage, every lasting marriage there. Praise the Lord. So, you must cleave to him by eternal life. Praise the Lord. So, the last aspect I'm going to mention again, to make it clear so you can understand, is those guys were talking in the book of Matthew chapter 11. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 28 to 30. Say, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's say good. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So God wants us to take the easy yoke and the light burden. How does this tally to what we are talking about? That speaks of eternal life. Using eternal life to pray with all kinds of prayer. Let's look at the book of John chapter 5 to understand it. Say, put that at the back of my say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy. Say, come unto me. Come unto me. Now open the Bible to the book of John chapter 5, verse 39. The Lord said something. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but I did that test for me. And now said, you will not come unto me, that you may have life. Can you link those scriptures? So the yoke there is talking about the yoke of eternal life. I said, he that comes unto me, said, to drink, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. And like scripture. He said, but you will not come unto me that you might have eternal life. So the yoke is talking about the yoke of eternal life. Now let us look at the burden. That's what binds you to God. That makes you cleave to God. Get addicted to God. Peter was so excited in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption as in the world. He was so bold to say that if you do these things, you will not fall. That's the secret about eternal life. Adam fell when he lost it, when he was cut off from that source. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at the body so it can be clear. And with it says, for we that are in this body, in this tabernacle, do what? Groan. Being burdened, look at that word again. Not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now watch this. I'm going to skip a certain part of that scripture to make it clear. Just follow me as I read. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Now skip. And I jump that mortality might be swallowed up of life. You know that I've not done damage to that scripture. It says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. It's the groaning that is going to take that life from your spirit into your soul and to your physical body. So you need the yoke and you need the burden. Say, I need the yoke of eternal life and I need the burden of traveling prayer. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from it, that is the work of the spirit, dwells in you, it that raised up Christ, it's how to give life to your mortal body. We've mentioned Hebrews 5:7. And the last scripture I want to quote, you see, in times past, this was not available. But when the season, you've seen the blood moon tetrad and all that come to pass, but in that season, I'll give a scripture as we close. But to give you a basis for that scripture, let's open to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Talking about those that wrote the scriptures in those days. So you can understand when I quote the other scripture book of Psalms. When they were writing it, they were not writing for themselves. They didn't understand. How can this be possible? Are we there? It says, unto whom it was, we're talking about the prophets that wrote the scriptures, you know, Isaiah, David, that not unto them, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angel desire to see. They want to see the last Adam. He produced in us. So let's open Psalm 102 as we close. It's a very familiar scripture. And we'll read from verses 13 to 21 and then we'll stop. Are we there? Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, and the set time is come. Say the set time is come. Next verse, let's keep reading. It continues. For thy servants take pleasure in thy stones. You know what stones are? Revelation knowledge. And favor the dust thereof. That is distilled instruction. I follow him when you break the stone down. I follow him in next verse. So what? Because of that. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. Next verse. When the Lord shall do what? Build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. Let's keep reading. He will do what? Regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. Let's keep reading. These words shall be written for what? The generation to come. So what is the time of David? We are the end time generation. Are you following me? He said, this has been for the generation to come. And the people which have been created, nobody was recreated in the Old Testament. Said, you are new creatures in Christ Jesus. This didn't appear to you. So he said, this shall be written for the generation to come. And the people that shall be created, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. New creation in Christ Jesus. Which shall do what? Praise the Lord. So it's written for us. New creatures in Christ. For what God has looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, the Lord beholds the earth. Next verse. To hear what? The what? The groaning of what? The prisoner. And to loose those that are appointed unto death. You see, the way things... Okay. To declare what? The name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. I'm going to stop. He said this thing was written for the generation to come. The people that God will create. So when David was writing it, he saw into the future. The end time generation. So what I'm writing now is not for me. It's for that generation to come. The people that are going to be created. He said God's going to look down. Say he's looking down right now. He's looking down and he wants to do what? He wants to, he's looking down to those that are groaning. Prisoner there is not physical. You are in prison to the sin nature and the flesh. So he says he's going to look down, please, to lose those that are appointed to death. You see, right now, everything is moving towards death, like Pastor taught us. The way things are going. But God has is looking down now. He's beginning to hear those groanings. And it's what he's saying. He says that he's going to look down and he's going to lose those that are appointed unto death. The Bible says that Naphtali is the hind let loose. Praise the Lord.
The Lord, let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Wow. That is a word from God. Amen. The purpose of eternal life. It is so critical at this time that we grasp this truth and not only grasp it but apply it. And as Pastor Jay said, a lot of wonderful things, and I believe that the Lord himself will enlighten our understanding, minister it to our hearts, and most importantly enable us to practice. You see, these things, you have to keep doing them for you to get the... He says, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth. In other words, if you don't continue, you won't know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, it will not set you free. So you start the word, then you continue in it. And it is the continuation in it that ultimately brings you to a place where you come to know spirit, soul, and body, the truth. And it is that knowledge, that experiential knowledge, revelation and experiential knowledge, that will now cause you to become free. And so these things are very, very critical. One or two things I just like to amplify and bring out was when Pastor was talking about the garments. See, our physical body is our garment. It's the garment of your spirit. You know, and that was really beautiful from Psalm 45. That all our garments are full of myrrh and aloes and cassia and all those things. And that's really literally what happens as you begin to pray on a consistent basis. The life of God is pumped into the physical body and it begins to drive out the sin nature, and then it takes all those things are ingredients of the anointing. You know, the anointing is the power of God, but the root substance is the life of God. You know, all those things you see, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, they all come from the life of God. You know, in the natural, crude oil is what we get from the earth, from the earth. Then we distill it. When you distill crude oil, then you now get, you know, aviation fuel. You get petroleum motor spirit. You get all kinds of, you know, all kinds of things, lubrication oil and all those kind of things. But they all come from the crude oil. Everything comes from eternal life. So the myrrh, the aloes, the cassia, these are physical things. But, you know, the spiritual equivalents, they all come from eternal life. And your body, you know, begins to smell That was really beautiful from Song of Solomon. He says, you know, when you, let's go back to that Song of Solomon. Those two scriptures I want to look at, Song of Solomon and Isaiah 61, and we will wrap it up and pray. He says, until the daybreak. Everyone say, we're in a new day, but it's dark and early. You know, from 12 midnight, it's already a new day. 1 a.m. is already a new day, but it looks like the night of the day before. Nothing has changed, even though you are in a new day. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning is a new day, but it still looks like night. You know, but a time comes. You know, of course, it changes from geographical region. For example, if you're in England and it's in the summer, it starts getting bright around 4 a.m. in the morning. You know, 4 or 5 a.m. is already light. You know, in the winter, it changes round, and 8 a.m. in the morning is still dark. Sometimes it doesn't get light until about 8:30, 9, you know. So, but the point is this, you know, there is a time of the day, of the new day, where the light comes out. So even though we're already in the new day, the day has not yet broken. He says, for every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. When the day does, everything will become clear. We already have the life of God in us. Some of us who are praying now, but it's dark and early and nobody knows. It does not yet appear, because it's still dark and early. But once the day breaks and the light comes, then we'll not be able to see every man's work. For the day shall declare, because the light will show it forth. You will now know the person who had life in his vessel and the one who doesn't have. It will become clear. Hello, somebody. And so he tells you to do this. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of myrrh. And I like the second, he didn't mention that. And the hill of frankincense. For what is frankincense? Prayer. Incense is prayer. Psalm 141, I will lift up my hands like the evening sacrifice. You know, like incense. And you know, we've shared on this before. We're talking about Christmas. We're going close to Christmas now, where they bring all the presents to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, so myrrh represents suffering. You know, it's a, you look it up. In fact, Google it. Just say myrrh, you know, oil of myrrh. It will take you and you will see it. You know, it's bitter, you know. And then frankincense. That's why when you first start praying with travail and groaning, it's very unpleasant. You can ask me, praise the Lord. Very initially, it's so. And that's why most people give up on it. And now you do it, oh my God, your head will pain you and everything. You know, is that sin nature? That is resisting the thing. But if you stay with it, after a while, you will overcome all of that. Then it will become sweet. You know, it will now become sweet odors. But you must, that's why using that illustration of Esther is so important. The first 6 months is bitter. And most people don't last the first 6 months. They give it up. But if you stay with it, then after a while it becomes sweet odors, you know, and then you start getting all the aloes and the cassia and all your garments will now, you know, that's your physical body. The life of God will now permeate it. And see what God says. This is, I'll come back to Psalm 45. Stick with me in the Song of Solomon. Stay back there in chapter 4. You know, the hill of frankincense, verse 7, then it will make you all fair. That glorious church, without blemish, spot, or wrinkle. I find it extremely instructive, Pastor Dewey, you know, and all of us here. Do you know that the church in Nigeria is described like this? Tall, skin, and smooth. God particularly, when you talk about something without spot, blemish or wrinkle. What has spots? Fine boy, no pimples.
Yeah. You understand? He's talking about your skin.
But he's not talking about the physical skin. He's talking about character, you know, that has been perfected and polished. So that's why he says tall and smooth of skin. It doesn't make any sense in the natural. It's spiritual. He says, unto a people, tall and smooth skin. Then he now goes to describe the physical land which the rivers divide. That one is physical. But the tall and smooth of skin is symbolic. That's why he says, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot. So you take the life of God, and as you pump it out through praying and travail, it goes into the physical body, and then it begins to remove all the spots and blemishes and wrinkles. They say, thou art all fair, completely. All fair. There is no spot in thee. Hallelujah. There's no spot in thee, there's no spot on thee, in and out. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. You know, this thing is from inside out. Hallelujah. Jesus said so. He said, thou, you Pharisees, you make clean the outward of the platter. He said, but it starts from the inside. He said, then the outside too will also be clean. Are you listening to me? But it doesn't start on the outside, it starts on the inside. The kingdom of God is within. But exactly. Now, yeah, Pastor Wiley, you picked it by the Spirit. That's where I'm going now. Psalm 45. Let's go Psalm 45 and then Isaiah 61. I was reading my Bible, gently minding my business. And this Psalm 61 just jumped out to me. But Isaiah 61. But let's first of all go to Psalm 45. Are we helping anybody here? Man, if this doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 45. This Psalm 45 is actually a prophetic psalm about the perfect church. You know, because of time, let's go to, which verse do I want now? Go to the beginning and I'll jump to verses like this. My heart, okay, next verse, 2. Verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. He's not talking about fine boy, no pimples. he's talking about the church. Are you listening to me? Grace is poured out, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Next verse. He's talking about Jesus and his bride. Gird thy said, verse 4. Because of time, he's talking here about Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself, you know. Verse 5. Thine arrows are sharp. Verse 6. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. He's talking about Jesus after the resurrection, the scepter, the kingdom, the scepter, right scepter. Verse 7. Verse 8. It begins to change. All thy garments, you know, because we're the body of Christ. Now, move to verse 9. King's daughters are among thy honor, and thy right hand standeth the queen in gold of Ophir. He's talking about Jesus and his bride. Next verse. Hearken, O daughter. He's changed now from Jesus to us. Hearken, O daughter. This is no longer the king now. This is the bride. Hearken, O daughter. Consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thy own people. Forget your Yoruba. Forget your Igbo. Forget your Chinese. Forget your American. You have to now let your identity be in Christ. Amen. You know, people have an identity crisis today. You know, they're trying to find out who they are and, you know, what your culture is and all that. Look, once you have Jesus, all that goes to zero. Amen. I could really care less what your culture is. I want to know if you know Jesus or not. Hallelujah. We're no longer natural men. You know, forget also thine own people. It doesn't mean you should not talk to people and not be kind to them. It just means, you know, don't be so attached to natural ties. And thy father's house. Next verse. So shall the king desire thy beauty. He's not talking about God. He's not talking about us. Jesus is the king. He's not talking about the church. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Next verse. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, and the rich among the people will entreat your favor. The wealth of the nations shall come to the church. Isaiah 45, men of stature shall come to thee. They shall bow to thee and say, surely God is in thee. He's talking about the church. Next verse. Hallelujah. The king's daughter, that's what Pastor Wally will get there, is all glorious. The work has been done from the inside out. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Then her clothing is of wrought gold. Hallelujah. Gold is symbolic of the divine nature. So the divine nature has gone from the spirit. It has come out. It has entered into the body. Hallelujah. Next verse. Oh, this is lovely. So shall she be brought in unto the king in raiment of needlework. And the virgins, her companions, shall follow her and shall be brought with it, the friends of the bridegroom. But they are not the queen. They are all Christians. In a great house, there are many vessels. It's gold. There's silver. You know, gold and silver is not the same thing. Silver is nice, but it's not gold. Hello? You know? And her companions that follow her shall be brought unto thee. So we have this train. Hallelujah. You've got the gold in gold, you know, the queen in gold of Ophir, all glorious within and out. And then you've got the virgins, and they're all virgins. You know, the wise and the foolish virgins, all of them are virgins. They're all children of God. You know, this, you see, that's why John said this. He said, every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you don't have a revelation of perfection and the resurrection, you're not motivated to live a pure Christian life, because you have this idea that we all die and go to heaven anyway. And that's why the great emphasis today is on the material and financial. Because people just say, what's all this one you're talking about? Pastor Olubi, you remember that guy? Oh, I know Pastor, yeah, I didn't know well. They got a guinea, yeah, go, yeah, go, where man now, no, Jerry. And he called, I got born again, God, I was blessed, God, I lost all room. And really, he caught, what he said is really, he caught the spirit. That's why you look at, what is all this what you are saying? I let them be born again. And then God blessed them, and then we go to heaven. All this one, we're all going, after all, the same heaven all of us are going. True, but we'll not be the same in heaven. But you know, most people don't even care about that. Whether we're the same in heaven or not, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Apostle Paul, who has a higher mind, a more spiritual mind, says, one star. For you know, he said, do you think I'm mad? Or is it only me and Barnabas that do not know how to carry about his sister? He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. So there's a low calling. Or should we say a lower calling? So it means that there's a calling, then there's a high calling. See, most Christians just want the calling, but they don't want the high calling. You know, and that's what God is trying to get us. That's why we need this revelation and all of this. You know, so Psalm 45, you know, go back there. Her clothing, so her companions follow her. Good. You know, and they shall. Is this the end of it, or is there one more verse? Where glad and they shall be brought in, they shall enter the king's palace. This is all talking about, you know, instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom shall make princes in all the earth. Remember, Joseph is a prince among his brethren. Hello. Okay, next verse. I will make thy name to be remembered unto all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise thee forever and ever. The point is this. The church, I've preached this many years ago. You know, I've preached about the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, and often when we get to heaven, we're going to have it starts here. It finally winds up in heaven, but it starts here. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah. And there is that feast in Isaiah 25, a feast of fat things, you know, for all nations. It starts here, and then it winds up, you know, it's finally consummated, you know, finally in heaven. And so what God wants us to do now is to use the life of God and praying in the Spirit to pump the life of God into the body, so that the body now becomes pure. You clean out the sin nature from the body, you know, myrrh and aloes and cassia. These are just symbolic things of how beautiful it is. Thou art all fair, and there is no spot in thee. And look at the consequence of all of this. Isaiah 61 verse 10, and I hopefully will stop there. I was reading my Bible, and I've read this scripture several times, you know, and I just stopped. And I saw it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath done what? Clothed me with the what? Garments of salvation. And he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And I said, Lord, he said, look at it. He said, when you wear a cloth, for example, you know, here in Africa, we do it the same thing. You know, you can wear buba and shokoto. In England or in America, wherever you are, you know, you can wear a shirt, you know, and a trousers, you know. That's your inner garment. Amen. And then you can now put a jacket on top of it. All right? You can put it, particularly in the winter, you put a jacket on it. In here, you put agbada. You now put a bigger outer garment on top of the inner one. So if I button up my jacket, you know, or there's something, you see a little bit of the inner one, but it's the outer one that you see. Now watch this. When you are clothed with the garments of salvation, you understand, the life of God has now entered your physical body. Amen. And then God will now cover you with the robe of righteousness, which is right doing. So the life that is inside the physical body now results in right doing, and that's what people will be seeing. You are now covered with the robe of right doing. But you must first of all have the garments of salvation. It is the inner one that gives rise to the outer one that everybody sees. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. So get addicted. You know that thing happened to me. I'm sure you've heard my story. And my story is still unfolding. It's not finished yet. Amen. The year was 1983. It was the same year I met my wife, incidentally. I met her later in the year. I met her, but earlier, you know, a few months, you know. Kenneth Hagin had taught us about the life of God, you know, and E.W. Kenyon. I knew that in my first year as a Christian. But I hadn't started praying with what we call life scriptures now. You know, I knew about them. I didn't know about them as life scriptures. I just knew about the concept of eternal life. I knew what that was. You know, I learned it from E.W. Kenyon's books, and then it was taught by Kenneth Hagin, and you know, also by Kenneth Copeland. And I had started. I knew about them. So, in those days, whenever I got sick, I would pray using what I called healing scriptures. I had about 10 of them, you know. I learned them from Kenneth Hagin. You know, if I'm feeling a little low or something, or my body, malaria or anything like that, I used to even have a tape recorder. You know, I'll just put on the scriptures. I'll say them. I'll pray a little bit. I'll sleep. In an hour, I'm awake and I'm fine. You know, and I'll get healed. You know, as I used to live, you know. And still do, you know. And
But 1982, you know, I started seeking God, you know, and I prayed a prayer. I said, God, train me the way you train the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to, you know about how he lived and everything. All hell broke loose. I almost died about 3 or 4 times in a 3, 4, 6 month period. You know, my car had an accident, me and Brother Fred. Then my dad gave me another car. Now one, two, the tires slashed on the expressway. All kinds of everything that could happen was happening. Now, as I learn how to pray 3 times a day, binding the devil, when I don't pray and I don't bind, there's problem. When I pray, then I overcome it. You know, it was like being trained on the war front. I was in the firing line. And God helped me, you know, and I began to overcome all of those things. Anyway, to fast forward the story, I couldn't, you know. So, I now use the same healing scriptures. I didn't get healed. God, what am I doing wrong? You know, I had to get into strife. Am I fighting with somebody? I checked it out, there's nothing like that. It was June. It was June 1983. I can never forget. I was to go to Oyo. I went to go and preach in a school for a brother who was the leader of the Christian Union in the school, and he wanted me to come and preach for them, you know, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit was very rare in those days. You know, very few Christians. I mean, people were, but it was not a common thing. You know, I mean. So, I was supposed to drive, you know. I was driving from here. I was living in Abu, that house where we started Scripture Pastures, Ujuri, you know. And I was teaching in Kutai. So I got back in the afternoon, you know, and I had to go to all the way to Oyo, you know, to go and preach for about 5 o'clock in the evening. And here I was with heavy malaria. My temperature was high, you know, and I was almost vomiting and everything. And I went to the Word and I did my healing scriptures, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24, you know, Psalm 107, you know, and all the healing scriptures. You'll find them in my book, Practical Guide to Prayer. They're all still there. You know, and of course, I expected I'll get no such luck. I didn't get I just looked, I said, so the Holy Spirit now said to me, he said, go and look for every scripture that promises life. And start from there. He said, these healing scriptures alone will not get the job done now. You need a higher measure. That's how I said, learn all these things. He said, you need a higher measure of life. So I went to start, you know, I started, you know, that's why we have those in John, Isaiah, Psalm 119, you know, and I started doing all those lines. That time I did, there was no Practical Guide to Prayer to turn to, praise the Lord. I didn't have any, you know, but I knew about the life of God. So everywhere I saw quicken, I knew it was life. So the whole Psalm 119 and all those Psalms, you know, then I went to John's Gospel and all of that. Then went to Romans 8, you know, right until I went through all the scriptures that promised life that I could find, that I knew at that time. Within an hour, I was completely healed. Totally. My temperature came down. You know, and so I got into my car. I had an Igala then. You know, I don't know how many people here ever saw the Igala film. And Pastor Gwega, Pastor Larry. Pastor Larry used to run away from my house when he first came. He wasn't a Christian, so he ran away from me and my wife. when he came to UI, his mommy brought him to my house and said, this is your Egbon. You're going to stay with him. He will look after you and everything. We only saw him once. You know, all these issues that are going to but give the Lord a clap offering, amen. You know, when God has his hand on you, you can't run away. Amen. You know, it took about 2 or 3 years, but God got him. Him and Shooks go to party and praise the Lord. Anyway, You know, and I got healed. And I drove all the way to Oyo, preached. You know, got the whole, it was a student, it was a secondary school, maybe about 40 students, 50, got everybody filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, and that guy would say, you know, the guy who invited me was saying, you know, they don't believe that you have to first of all be sanctified before you got filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, when you're born again, you're sanctified. So, you know, anyway, got them all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's how I came to the knowledge of life scriptures. I now discovered that after that experience, I couldn't stop. If I didn't pray from all of those scriptures, I will not be able to pray. I will pray, but like Pastor Joey said this evening, I will pray in tongues, and get to a particular level, then the thing will switch from articulate language into inarticulate language, into groanings, and unless I put the life scriptures in, I couldn't do it. And if I didn't do it, every other thing around me will start crumbling. You know, NEPA will go, and the car will stop working, and all kinds of things, you know. And when I start praying, everything will fine. That's how I learned to. Well, I didn't learn it in a school or in a theology. It's real. Hallelujah. In an online situation. But this is the point I want to make. Then I got addicted. Cleave unto him. You know what they do for cocaine people? This is true. You know? What they do is that if they want, you know, if you take a little bit of cocaine, you know, and, you know, your body gets high and all of that, you know, if they give it to you consistently, after a while, when you don't have it, you have to, you know, that's how the life of God is. Once you start getting the life of God inside you, after some time, if you don't have the life of God, you won't be calm. You know, and that's what it means to come. You cannot cleave unto him. You get to a place where you can't do without God. For me, prayer now is essential. I can't live without God. I can't go now for 5-6 hours and not pray. It's not possible. My whole system will just start. I need my fix. I'm addicted to the life of God. And that's what God wants us to be. See, cleave. Thou shalt love the Lord and thou shalt cleave unto him. I get up and I have to have life. I have life, but I have in more measure. Then I pray properly and all that. And everything is fine. You know? So that's what God wants us to get to a point where we're addicted to the life of God. And then we now use prayer in the spirit and travail and groaning to transfer that life from the spirit into the physical body, where the physical body itself now starts, you know, begins to love God, who by reason of use have their senses, the physical body, exercised to the discerning. A better word is what? Discrimination. In other words, a time will come where the flesh will even reject sin, because it has the life of God inside it. So it doesn't, even the sin is no longer attractive. Because you see, the life of God is now has so permeated the body that the body, instead of the flesh lusting against the spirit, the flesh is now in cooperation with the spirit. That's how Jesus' flesh was. Jesus had a physical, natural body. It ate, it slept, it got tired. Hello? It wasn't a glorified body. It wasn't a natural body. But it was a natural body that had life in it. And the Word was made flesh. That's why he was not born of a physical father. He was born of the Word of God. You know, but that it was that same nature that was inside his body. So when you and I get born again, it's in our spirit, but we now want to put it inside the body so that the body will be like the body of the, like Pastor Dio said, the Word now becomes flesh. Whether you like it or not, I know the religious mind finds it very difficult. You become another incarnation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The life of God. You can say like Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. You touch me, you've touched the Father. You know, virtue is going out of him. That's what's called the manifestation of the sons of God. And it's right here before us now. I'm going to say it like Jesus said it. The hour is coming and now is. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
And we are now a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb. One children praying for Jesus' return, preparing our hearts like a bride getting ready.
As well as instructive message. The purpose of eternal life. Says, lay hold on eternal life. He's talking to people who already have eternal life. Paul was not writing to unbelievers, he was writing to Christians. Paul knew God. He said, but I may know him. So we have eternal life. We know God, but we have to know him more. Just not in our spirit alone, but in the soul. The mind, the will, the emotion, then in the physical body, where that life of God is made manifest. And this is the challenge of the hour. This is what the world must see. When people see, says, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto him. We will not be able to stop people from coming to church. The Bible says, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above all hills, and all. When you see the life of God, it's not that they're telling you, you see it. You see the light God made manifest, and you're and they're ordinary human beings just like you. You just say, I too, I want it. There's nobody who's going to see the life of God being made manifest that I would not desire. Well, of course, there'll be rebellious people, but majority of people want to, they want to get it. It will be so attractive. The ability of the mind of Christ, the healing power, the virtue that will be coming out. People will be rushing to churches. Talk to God. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God, so that the life of God can flow freely and maximally into our spirits to cause our prayers to avail much. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come tonight, reminding me of the purpose of eternal life, to know you, the only true God, in my spirit, in my soul, and in my physical body, that the life of God may be made manifest in my mortal flesh. Oh my God, I understand this purpose. And Lord God, I align my will with your will. Your word says, this is our confidence, that we ask anything according to your will. This is your will. And so I align myself with this your will. And I will not rest. I will not rest until I see the life of God manifest in my mortal flesh. Have mercy on me. I receive fresh mercy. I receive fresh grace. I receive strength. I receive determination working in me to will and to do of your good pleasure until this purpose is achieved to the glory of your name and the blessing of humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Lapatoloma toloma shaka. Lipriki tufredika kromatushka fres. Lambriki tushko fre. Lambraka tushko krom. Lamatoloma zakromatoloma lambriki fridufri freshika kromatu fresh. Toloma shangito. Lambrakromatoloma tu fresh. Lambrakromatoloma tu fridufri shi. Zofrika kromatuklo. Tuklomatoloma kromatuklo. Toloma tu fridufri freshi. Gatoske frenes. Tolomengiras. Jiki tu fres. Tolomangordolos, Jiki tu frenes, Tolomangires, Jiki tu fres, Tolomiras, tu frenes, Jiki tu fres, Ambrigatus, Zofridis, Langredolos, Jelecardo fres, Tolomingues, Jiki tu fris, Tolomashangitos, tu frenes, Ambrigas, tu fris, Tolomangar, tu frenes, Tushku fres. In Jesus' name. Please remember. It will help your faith. Always remember, Jesus lived in a natural body, just like you. He didn't live in a glorified body. He got a glorified body after the resurrection, but before the resurrection, his body was just like our own. The only difference was that he didn't have sin in it. That's all. It was just as, how many people know Jesus got tired? The Bible said when he was wearied from his journey, he sat on the well. I remember Jesus slept. I remember Jesus ate. How many people know that Jesus died? Yes! He was mortal. And to prove he was mortal, he died. They nailed him to a cross. And then the Roman soldier pierced his heart with the spear. And out came water and blood, and the man died. That was why he was very careful. Jesus was very careful. He said, when he knew that they wanted to kill him, he didn't say, oh, I'm the Son of God, they can't kill me. Of course they could kill him. I've said this many times, I'm going to keep saying it. We can die, but we will not die. To say we cannot die is presumptuousness. To say we will die is unbelief.
I'll say it again.
To say we cannot die is to be presumptuous. Of course you can die. But to say you will die is unbelief. You will live and you will not die. That's faith. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. But you can die. Now you will not die in Jesus' name. But you're going to be sensible about it. Like Jesus. Amen. When you see that they want to kill you, you don't walk in jury. That could be interpreted in so many ways. You know, don't do stupid things. You know, God gives you a warning. Don't go here and you go there at the wrong time. You know, or he tells you to eat this and you're going to eat the wrong thing. Of course. So, Jesus was, he was very aware. That was it. A prophet will not perish outside Jerusalem. He says, when they sought to kill him, he walked no longer in Jerusalem. He said he would have no man know. He was careful because he knew he was living in a natural body. He knew he was living in a natural body. He wasn't living in a supernatural body. He was living in a natural body. So that makes you know that if he could do it, you can do it. Amen. That same body Jesus lived in was the body that virtue came out of and healed the woman with the issue of blood. That same body that was a virtue went out and healed them all. 15,000 people. Hallelujah. The hour is coming and now people will touch your car, not you, your car, and get healed. Simply because life will flow from your body into the seat, from the seat into the metal and the body of the car, and they will contact it and they will get healed. What happened with Paul? The aprons, the life of God was inside him, entered the mortal body, entered the handkerchief. And then they put it on the sick people and the demon oppressed people, and they got healed. And then, oh, that was in the old days. It happened with John G. Lake. It happened with old people. Because what? These are not cunningly devised fables. These are realities that have happened even in our own contemporary time. It's just like, but like Pastor Jay said, it just has not happened on a consistent basis. It will happen and then it won't happen again. But God is just gave us a taste that this thing is available. You guys press in. And they have it constantly. Jesus had it constantly. He didn't have it once in a while. He had it constantly. Paul, the boy was preaching. One boy fell down. He was sleeping. Paul didn't pray. He didn't bind the devil. He didn't do all the gymnastics we do. Amen. He just said his life is in him. He just put his body on the boy. The life that was inside Paul's body entered the body of that boy, and the boy was raised from the dead. How would you like for you just to pass by the mortuary? Yeah, you will go to UCH, you go and see somebody, and you're not planning to raise anybody from the dead. You just walk by the mortuary, and about three or four guys just walk out. It will happen. That's why it's called a sign and a wonder. Are you listening to me? Eye has not seen. It will happen. We're talking about, he said, Peter, his shadow. His shadow. Not Peter. The shadow. It tells you of a force field of life. There was a certain circumference, a radius around him that had so much life and power that anybody who came within that radius without prayer, just like, hallelujah. I am so excited. If the bones of Elisha in the Old Testament could have residual life to raise people, how much more you who are living, you are not dead and you are in the New Testament? So you just touch somebody like this. You just touch a dead body, goose, and the guy just starts living. You can imagine, you know, 10 of that happened, 20 of it happened, 100 of it happened. It's being reported all over the world. Who won't go to church? He said, they don't even need to pray for you. And he could take a call, Robin Lasson. That's what women in short blood did. Yeah, you don't need prayer, doesn't it? I need yours. It's on the way. The hour is coming and now is.
this is it, oh, it's manifesting the sons of God. This world is going to shut everybody's mouth and make the whole world come, so that they will know that you have sent me. Now, they may not all accept it, oh, but they will know. If they don't accept it, their conscience will be against them. But they will not say they don't know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for a witness. This gospel of the kingdom, spirit, soul, and body, shall be preached to all ethnos. Then and only then will the end come.